This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com. Friends.
I'm wearing flannel right now. It's not so hot in here. I know. People don't wear flannel, right? I do. I love flannel. And actually, it was back-to-back, really rainy, cold, and dank type of days. The flowers are super happy. I thought that I needed to mow my weeds before the rain started, and now the weeds have suddenly sprouted another foot. Oh, my goodness. Forget mowing the backyard for the grass. It's just about the weeds that are nearly as tall as the fence now. Okay, that's exaggerating a bit, but you know if you live in a place where the weeds are starting to grow like weeds. I've actually wondered if I sat outside overnight and stared at the weeds, would I be able to see them grow? Because dandelions apparently can grow 6 inches in a couple of hours. It's insane. Why can't the rest of the plants grow like that? Anyway, back to the flannel. So it was a couple of cooler, kind of darker, damp days, and I decided flannel and sneaks would be the way to go for this edition of the show. But I am excited about spring and warmer temperatures. And if, that's a gigantic capitalized if, I am going to commit to running a full marathon a year from now, I am going to need to be out and about. And I'm going to need some spring temps to be able to carry through me through these initial stages of training. If you missed this whole conversation, well, Cynthia Freeland of NFL Network, she joined us in the first hour of the show. And while we did talk football, like Sam Darnold and the impact with the Panthers, we talked about wide receiver value in the upcoming NFL draft. We talked about some fun, nerdy stats that she's so great at, and she dresses them up, and they're super sexy when Cynthia presents them. But she's also got this amazing, not-so-hidden talent that she's a runner, and she's done marathons in, what did she say, Producer Dave, 23 states? And her goal, her life goal, is to run a marathon in all 50 states. She's that kind of crazy. And because one friend of mine has invited me to consider a marathon, a full marathon, I've done halves, I've never done a full. Another friend of mine has asked me to consider running a full marathon next spring in Oklahoma City, the Memorial Marathon, which takes place in the downtown area. I've done the half there. It's amazing. Cynthia has just about convinced me that I would not die and that the experience would be worth everything to do the full marathon. And she even said she would go with me. She would do the race with me.
I had doubt in the play call.
I knew I shouldn't have asked Cynthia because I knew that she was going to tell me what an amazing experience and life accomplishment it is. And so now I'm teetering on the edge of committing to a marathon. I'm not there yet. She's going to give me a running plan, but I'm going to need some nice weather because I'm a baby. And there's so much training to be had. Thank you, Tony. I guess if I commit a year out, it'll give me a year to prepare. I like goals. Goals motivate me, but I'm afraid of pain too. Well, not afraid of it. I just don't love it. But on the bright side, Matt, who called us earlier, who did an ultra marathon in Virginia Beach in December, he said, on the bright side, you can eat as many donuts as you want without guilt. Okay. You can eat donuts guilt-free. Maybe there's my motivation. I could eat chocolate. I could have cookies. I could eat lots of pasta.
Ooh-wee!
What the hell was that? No, seriously, who was that? Oh my gosh. I'm going to need a longer playlist, by the way, on my iPod, because right now I don't have enough music to go marathon training for the next year.
That is labeled as Jay Gruden. I just don't remember
that. Wait, let me hear it again.
Ooh-wee!
Yeah, I mean, Jay Gruden's kind of a goof. I could see that. Not John Gruden, Jay Gruden.
Yep.
Okay, on that note, if you've ever done a marathon, I'm going to need some encouragement and tell me why it's worth it. Actually, if you did a marathon and you hated it, please don't write to me because I'll back out. Like I said, I'm teetering. But if you missed the conversation with Cynthia, Dave and I commented multiple times. We're staring at each other through the double pane glass that she's awesome. You know she's awesome, so make sure you check that out. On our podcast after hours, amylawrence.com. And of course, our interviews are podcasted separately. We will also share the link with you on both Twitter and Facebook multiple times on Tuesday. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Here's one thing that we're not doing on this edition of the show. We're doing some fun stuff. What did the caller say earlier? You're running the gamut. Donuts, marathons, football. Our debate is not whether Julian Edelman is suited to the Hall of Fame, not whether he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, but would you take the bling over the bust? Or would you take the bust over the bling? That's the hashtag, bling or bust, baby. Oh, we could add the baby just because it's a B and I love alliteration. There's no way to minimize the impact of Julian Edelman on the Patriots or on the NFL as a whole, on Tom Brady, on Bill Belichick. There's no way to mitigate what he accomplished as an NFL player, whether or not he ends up as a Hall of Famer. And if I'm Julian Edelman, I'm not, but if I'm Julian, I don't care if you put me in the Hall of Fame. You cannot take away what I accomplished as a wide receiver as a quarterback out of Kent State, who became a wide receiver in the NFL, lasted 12 seasons, which is three times longer than the average NFL career, who won three Super Bowls, an MVP in a game that had zero offense except for him, who took instructions from one of the greatest coaches in league history and caught passes from the greatest of all time. Not to mention you thrived in a Patriot system that isn't for everyone. 12 seasons at his career, considering where he came from, he's already in a freaking Hall of Fame, regardless of it being Canton or whether or not he gets a bust. And it's a personal choice. I wouldn't trade performing on the game's biggest stages. I wouldn't trade the experiences that he has that he'll always remember. The more the pressure, the better he played. The greater the attention, the scrutiny, the better he performed. In the game's biggest moments, with everything on the line, Julian Edelman rose to the occasion.
No pressure, no diamonds.
Exactly. Bust or no bust, there's no way to minimize the impact of Edelman's career or to chop it up into a bunch of numbers because you're trying to prove he's not Hall of Fame worthy. I don't know if he gets in. If I had to guess, I'd say no. But who freaking cares when you consider what he accomplished in his career and who he got to work with, who he got to play with, where he got to play? And so bling or bust is the question on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. It's a fun Twizzler Tuesday twist, and it's a great debate, too. Also on our Facebook page. And then we'll get back to your calls, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. There are some athletes, a fair number, it's an even more elite club, who get both. They get the bling and they get the bust. In Steph Curry's case, I'm pretty sure that his bust was already set, but he just keeps adding to the resume.
17,782 for Curry. Dribble drive. Curry goes in, drives the layup. It's up and good. And there he is, Stephen Curry. Now the all-time leading scorer in Warriors franchise history. He shines brighter than the Big Dipper as he passes Wilt Chamberlain into history.
Steph Curry, now first on the Warriors' all-time scoring list. And he finishes up last night. This number is only going to stand for a bit. But he finishes with 17,784 points. He passes Wilt Chamberlain, as you hear with Tim Roy, on the Warriors radio network. And he did it in a magnificent performance and a game that the Warriors really needed. In fact, Steve Kerr was so pleased with their performance, he gave them Tuesday off. My nights and days blend together. He gave them Tuesday off from practice. You should have seen them celebrate in the locker room. It was pretty cool. But yeah, Steve Kerr has been able to have a front row seat for the impact of Steph Curry. Like Julian Edelman, he performs at his best on the game's biggest stages. And he has such a flair for the dramatic as well. He wants to be the dagger. So congratulations to him, now the Warriors' all-time scoring leader. But the game was also really important last night. And as I say, they needed him to come through. Right now they need everything he can give. And the Warriors are, in fact, playing inconsistently. But Steph Curry is playing at an MVP level.
17,782 for Curry. Dribble drive. Curry goes in, drives the layup. It's up and good. And there he is, Stephen Curry. Now the all-time leading scorer in Warriors franchise history. He shines brighter than the Big Dipper as he passes Wilt Chamberlain into history. Jokic screens, a switch. Jokic guarded by Draymond. Ball knocked away by Draymond. Turnover. Curry has it. Looks ahead, throws to Draymond. Draymond glides in, dunked it at Golden State. Forcing a couple turnovers here. They trail by three. Rebound deflected by Looney and Barton. Picked up by Draymond. Full head of steam. Draymond to the front court. Finds Curry from 26 feet. Swish for Curry. Porter Jr. Draymond rotates to Curry. Wide open three topside. Money. Cold hard cash for Curry. Curry now with 40 points. And we're just at the halfway point of the third quarter.
He ends up with 53. And actually had 48 through three quarters. I was listening to this game live on the radio with Tim Roy, and he had 10 made triples in the fourth quarter. By the time he came back in, the second string had done such a good job with the Warriors that his workload wasn't as heavy. And I think he only had 5 free throws in the fourth quarter. That's all he had. But he finishes with 53 on 10 made triples. And the Warriors really put this game out of reach with a stretch to wrap up the third quarter in which they had 10 consecutive points. So congratulations to Steph. The Warriors get a huge victory over the number 4 team in the West, the Denver Nuggets. That loss came with a very heavy price for Denver. We'll get to that momentarily. But for Steph, he takes everything in stride and afterwards really humbled to be in this situation.
To be anywhere near him in any record book or now be on top, like it's surreal and it's wild, because if you grew up in the game of basketball and you hear his name, you know it's something extremely special, no matter what it is.
It's been incredible. You know, when I obviously think about my career, I can't think much about my career without, you know, thinking of Steph Curry. You know, we've done some incredible things together. And as, you know, as incredible as it's been to play with him, it's been even more incredible and more special to create a brotherhood, you know, that'll last far past my days as a Warrior, his days as a Warrior, my days as a basketball player, and his as well.
He's so even keeled. It's one of the great things about Steph is that his approach doesn't change much, you know, whether he's, you know, struggling or breaking Wilt's record. Either way, he's going to come in with the same mindset, competitive desire, focus.
17,784 points put Steph Curry ahead of Wilt Chamberlain on the all-time scoring list. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Draymond Green, by the way, post-game on the Warriors radio network. And I happened to catch that interview live, and he just raved about how his career is so indelibly tied to Steph's that he can't even think about his own career for very long without thinking about that partnership and that work relationship and, of course, the prosperous relationship between the two of them. And I can't wait for Klay Thompson to get back on the court. Now, the Warriors are in a different space. They're scuffling now. They're not the same team that went to five straight NBA finals, won three titles. But I like to see this group grinding and trying to figure it out yet again, even as they navigate some injuries in a very difficult West. The New York Knicks have been there. They've been at the bottom, and now they're trying to scratch and fight and claw their way to the top. And it helps when you encounter the world champions without their top dogs, but still take nothing away from the performance of Julius Randle against his former team, the Lakers.
Derrick Rose up top for the Knicks, guarded by Caruso. Out to Randle, right side, three. It is good! Julius Randle extending the Knicks' lead to 15 points. Bullock for Randle, near side, fakes a shot, back out to Bullock, then across for a Barrett three attempt, no good. Randle knocks it up in the air, kept alive. Great play by Peyton, feeds Randle, who lays it in.
Julius stepped up and had a monster game again, making big shots. And they're tough. They're a hard-playing team, and they have good veterans. And, you know, if you let your guard down for a second, they can come back on you. And, you know, very well coached.
Just ask the Brooklyn Nets, who, of course, stumbled against the Lakers on Saturday night. 34 points for Julius last night, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, couple of steals in there as well. And I don't know, I couldn't really tell by watching him whether or not it mattered against his former team. But I will say that there are a lot of people who dismissed him and his career as a bit of an afterthought once the Lakers traded him away. And he kind of went through this bit of a nomad phase in his NBA career.
I mean, it's always fun. It's the team that drafted me. I was there for 4 years. So, you know, it's always going to be a little bit extra. It's always fun competing against your old team. But most of all, I just wanted to get the win and do what we've been doing, which is, you know, protect home court.
He certainly is thriving with Tom Thibodeau as the head coach. A lot of guys are, and it brought instant credibility and a higher standard to the Knicks, who the last I checked were in fourth place, in the East. Both Coach Thibs and Julius Randle on MSG, and before that, the Knicks radio network. Now, here's the crazy thing about the NBA. You can go from fourth to eighth in the span of one or two games. So here's how it looks right now in the East. This is nutso. The Hawks are at 29-25, 8 games out. The Heat, 28-25, 8.5 games out. The Hornets, 27-25, 9 games out. The Celtics, who've won 3 in a row, like the Knicks, are sitting at 9 and 9.5 games out. So I kid you not, 4 through 8. So 5 spots in the Eastern Conference standings are separated by a mere game and a half. That is a buzzsaw. It also highlights the mediocrity of the East. They're thick around the middle. The Pacers, they're just below 500, and they're sitting in that number 9 spot. And of course, you have the 7-10 play-in tournament this year, which I'm not sold on. I guess it felt like it was appropriate for the bubble to get more teams to finish their season and get involved. A lot of players are not super thrilled about it, but that's the format that the NBA has settled on for the 21 postseason, which is still over a month away. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Big news from that Western Conference clash between the Warriors and the Nuggets, a major injury to the Denver Nuggets roster, and we'll wait to find out word on Tuesday. We'll let you hear from Michael Malone about one of his star players coming up next, and we'll get back to your responses. Bling or bust? Bling or bust? It all depends on your personal perspective. What do you value most? And I'm really impressed by the thought that you're putting into this question.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Rebound down to Jamal Murray. Less than a minute go. Three-pointer would be nice. Murray right to the rack. Gets hammered, and he'll go.
Jamal's hurt.
And he's grabbing his left knee, and he is in severe amount of pain.
This is a worst-case scenario, sports fans.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jamal Murray will be awaiting the results of testing that'll be done on Tuesday, and unfortunately, it looked bad. And he was in agony when he hit the ground after driving to the hoop. He was going down the lane on the left side. It didn't appear to be contact until after the fact. He clearly stepped on it and felt something pops, felt something break. Just something that caused him great pain because he landed on the floor and grabbed his knee and was writhing around on the court. And this was in the final minute of the game against the Golden State Warriors. You hear the call with the Denver Nuggets radio network and then Michael Malone, his head coach, speaking right after the game.
No real update. You know, I think they're going to go try to get some imaging of the knee and see what the injury is. Obviously, very down locker room. Yes, we lost the game, but I think everybody's thoughts are with Jamal and hoping that he's going to be okay. But no definitive answer right now. We're waiting kind of word on the imaging, and we'll go from there.
The fear right away is ACL, an injury that would take him out for the rest of the way. Hate the pain that he was in. You hope against hope. Jamal Murray, one of the bright young stars of the league, certainly critical to the Denver Nuggets' success. But also, I was so excited, or I am so excited. I'm not exactly sure how to phrase it. Like I said, I'm hoping to see him again on the playoff stage after what the Nuggets accomplished as a team, what he accomplished in kind of dragging the Nuggets with him last year in the bubble. Really excited to see how the Nuggets can build on this. And right now they're sitting at number 4 in a very ghastly Western Conference that requires so much. And so I hope that it's not an ACL or an injury that will keep him out the rest of the way, but it really did feel like a gut punch to see him rolling around on the court and just the pain that he was in. He didn't want the wheelchair. They were going to wheel him out of the arena. Instead, he was helped to his feet and then limped off to the locker room. But as you hear the dejection in Michael Malone's voice, you can obviously understand they're fearing the worst.
I spoke to the team and I went to go check on Jamal as they were getting ready to take some images. And some of the coaches said when they watched the replay, it looked like he hyperextended it. And again, you know, just he just came back. You know, he was gone for 4 days. His knee's been bothering him. He took those 4 games to try to get right. First game back, obviously, it's just an awful feeling. So, you know, keep Jamal in your thoughts and prayers, and hopefully we'll get some good news.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, Michael Malone, head coach of the Denver Nuggets, and we will, of course, wait word on Tuesday about one of the bright young superstars in the NBA. Knee injury is what ultimately will end the career of Julian Edelman. He failed a physical with the Patriots, and they terminated his contract, though, more a technicality. He was trying to figure out if there was a way that he could continue. He was waiting to make this decision, but this chronic knee injury, this one that kept him out of all but 6 games in 20, and has really bothered him for the past several years, ultimately forced him into making a decision.
Nothing in my career has ever come easy, and no surprise, this isn't going to be easy either. Now, I've always said, I'm going to go until the wheels come off, and they finally have fallen off. Due to an injury last year, I'll be making my official announcement of my retirement from football.
On Julian's Twitter, he was able to make the announcement himself, though the speculation was out there once news of the physical was revealed to a couple of reporters. It's actually a really neat video production that was put together, so check it out. It's on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, or you can find it on his Twitter, Patriots. It's all over the place. It's now been seen by 4.4 million people. The last time we checked, it was 4.2 million people. So another 200,000 over the course of the last couple of hours. But it's really neat. He's sitting in a chair. In fact, he walks into the camera angle, and he's sitting in a chair in the middle of Gillette Stadium down at field level. And while the camera is panning around him, around and around, he's kind of looking up. He's pensive, almost as if he's watching the big board, the video screen with highlights of his career. But you hear Bob Soucy, the Patriots Radio Network, you hear these various moments in his career. And again, the the hallmark of Julian Edelman for me will always be that on the Super Bowl stage, in the playoffs, that's when he played his best. Whether or not you believe he's a Hall of Famer, and that remains to be seen, he walks away from the game with the second most postseason catches, second most playoff catches all time in 12 years. And obviously the number of playoff games the Patriots had certainly led to that. But he always rose to the occasion. It was playoff Julian, postseason Julian Edelman, 118 of them, second only to Jerry Rice. Three Super Bowl rings, a Super Bowl MVP, 12 seasons. It's a pretty sweet percentage number of Super Bowl appearances in your 12 seasons. And as much as you can point to Tom Brady as the greatest of all time, Tom Brady, Patriots, they're not the same. They don't win the Super Bowls that they did without Julian Edelman. And the only thing I hate for him, I hate the debate over whether or not he's a Hall of Famer, because I feel like you got people out there that are minimizing his accomplishments in an attempt to make it fit their narrative if they don't believe he's a Hall of Famer. But the part that I hate for Julian specifically is that it's an injury that forces him out. It's not maybe when he wanted to go. He'll be 35 in May, and he's already played over a decade. And at the physical style, at the position that he played, a slot receiver, he took a lot of bone-crushing hits over and over. It takes a toll mentally, physically. But I don't know that he would have walked away at this point. So it's hard when it comes to an end, and it wasn't necessarily your choice.
It's been the best 12 years of my life. It's a hell of a run. And I can't forget you, Patriot Nation. You guys have welcomed me and my family to a region we do not know. We didn't know. But now, I'm one of you. I'm going to leave you guys with two words. Foxborough, forever.
It's such a great hashtag, right? Foxborough, forever. 855-212-4CBS. Lots of you wanting to weigh in. You can also find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Would you take the bling? And he's got a lot of bling. Or would you take the bust? You can only have one or the other, just because it's a hypothetical and most of us are not ever getting either. Bling or bust. We're living vicariously through you, Julian Edelman. Again, 855-212-4CBS. To me, this is a far more entertaining debate, an interesting debate, than whether or not he is a Hall of Famer. Plus, you have only a bazillion radio shows who have covered that exact same topic and debate over the last 24 hours. You know me, I like to be different.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
He goes 0-2, and he did get him here. Swing and a miss at the curve. Strike three. Four consecutive strikeouts for Tyler Glasnow. Strikes out the side here in the sixth.
The 1-2 pitch. Breaking ball. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. That's a career-high tying 13th strikeout for Tyler Glasnow, who has been absolutely sensational. And now the 1-2 on its way. Swing and a miss. He struck him out, and that's a career-high 14 strikeouts for Tyler Glasnow. One out here in the eighth inning.
Castillo delivers 0-2. Strike three called, and the ball game is over. The Rays have defeated the Rangers, and how fitting is it that the night ends on a strikeout? As Diego Castillo strikes three men out in the ninth inning, saving it for Tyler Glasnow, who had quite possibly the best start of his career.
As my mechanics got like easier to repeat as the game went on, it just felt smoother and smoother. But I think from the start to finish today, it was a really good one for me, for sure.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You think? Tyler Glasnow, ace of the Tampa Bay Rays. 14 strikeouts, as you hear on the Rays radio network. A 1-0 win, so he allows no earned runs or any other kind of run through his 7 2/3 innings pitched. Only throws 102 pitches, but 14 Ks, two hits. Just two hits that are scattered. That's the baseball term. They're scattered. They did no damage whatsoever. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So that's one baseball story from last night on the diamond. Another, A.J. Hinch returning to Houston. So this is the got to be weird, emotional for him, but his Tigers, who he now manages, are playing their series in Houston, and so he's back for the first time as a member of a different organization after a year of being suspended, a year that it was, and of course taking the yeoman share of the blame for the trash can banging, sign stealing schemes that were employed by the Astros going back to their World Series run in 2017.
Houston fans have been incredible to me, both, you know, before the sign stealing, after the sign stealing, when I was the manager there. Now that I'm not the manager there, the Houston fans have been tremendously supportive to me and my family. And, you know, it's home for me. And that city matters to me. The fans have been tremendous. And obviously it'll be very emotional when I see them.
I love how he puts it. He doesn't bother to mince words. No political correctness there. After, no, he says first before the sign stealing, after the sign stealing. The Houston fans were incredible. Before and after said sign stealing schemes. I mean, he did own up to it. He admitted to his role in it, said he should have taken a stronger stance and should have made sure it wasn't happening on his watch. And I feel like he probably sleeps better at night than many who would not admit that they were part of it or would not own up, or those who are now facing the wrath of the fans on the road. I got to admit, it's been pretty funny to see the creativity of fans. You knew it was going to happen. It didn't happen in 2020, but fans have not forgotten, at least not yet. One more really quickly, and this is from Alex Cora. So you heard it with Erica's update as well as with Bob Uecker through the first 3 hours, and you probably saw it on the news. There were multiple games that were postponed in the Minneapolis area, Minnesota teams that decided to do this in the wake of another police shooting. And so the Twins, the Wolves, the Wild, they all postponed their games, which of course did have ripple effects on other teams. And in the case of the Boston Red Sox, they were supposed to play the Twins. And Alex Cora said, really, it was a no-brainer. You know, we found out from the Twins and we were fine with it. And now just waiting on a word from Major League Baseball about what happens the rest of the way through this series, but also about the games.
We're waiting to hear from MLB and the Twins to see what's next as far as the series. And you know, we don't have too many details.
A couple of you have asked me why I haven't mentioned it. I mean, if you listen to the show on a regular basis, you know that I try to keep this light and entertaining. It doesn't mean that I am ignoring what else is happening in our nation and the other tragic events. It's obviously a huge tragedy and painful to think about this young man who was shot by police and the officer saying that he intended to fire a stun gun and not a handgun, and it results in the death of a 20-year-old man. Black, white, purple, yellow, green. The whole thing breaks my heart. And now, of course, there is a reaction, as you would expect, in the climate and with the unrest and what else has happened in Minneapolis. And so it is painful, and I have not forgotten. I'm not ignoring it. But I try to offer something different on the show, partly because if I go down that path, it's nearly impossible for me then to come out of it and to do a show that is entertaining. And so I apologize if that offends some of you. I apologize if you don't agree with my perspective, but that's one that I've been pretty consistent about. So yes, thinking about this young man and his family and the officers involved and very painful and gut-wrenching. And sports, you see the sports world no longer ignores it. They certainly do adjust. In this case, there were multiple games that were put aside. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I appreciate all of your tweets, whether you agree, disagree, all of your Facebook messages, whether you love the show, hate the show, love what we're talking about or don't. It's good that you're participating. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And we'll end up with some of your perspective. It's a It's a subjective question. There is no right or wrong answer. Sometimes there are right or wrong answers. Sometimes it is very much a matter of right or wrong, but not in this case, not in sports radio. We're just asking you for your opinion. Would you rather have the bling or would you rather have the bust, meaning the bust in Canton or Springfield or anywhere else? And we've had some really good calls, some really good responses. So I like the fact that the question is causing you consternation. I saw one guy, Ken, on our Facebook page who is a Bills fan. He says, I'm split because I would have loved to have seen my guys win at least one of those four Super Bowls that they went to. They had multiple Hall of Famers on that roster going back to the Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, Bruce Smith, all those guys. He says at the same time, seeing them go into the Hall of Fame made this old man cry like a baby. So it's a good question, but a difficult one to answer. Yeah, those are the best questions, are they not? 855-212-4227. Tom is listening in Alabama. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Amy. I hope you're having a good night.
Thank you.
You just kind of stole my thunder with that, or that guy did from Twitter.
It's okay. You can piggyback.
I saw an interview with Dan Marino, and he said he would gladly give his Hall of Fame ring back for one championship.
Interesting.
And that was, I mean, you know, it's a huge honor, and you do get a beautiful ring. I had the fortune of actually holding one of those in my hand. I used to work for John Stallworth. And, of course, he has Super Bowl rings and Hall of Fame rings.
Yes.
Some
people do get the best of both worlds.
Yeah. But it was an interesting interview hearing Dan Marino say that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of the best, but that always was missing.
Right.
And so that's tough. And I also wanted to give you toilet information.
Oh, gosh.
Because I have replaced a few. There is a thing called Toilet in a Box, and it's at Home Depot and Lowe's, and it comes with everything you need, including a lid. The only thing you'll have to buy is a water line, and I do recommend braided. They last forever.
You know someone will install this for me. I will not be doing this myself.
Oh no, that's fine. They will do it for you. I had a plumber do it for me.
Oh god.
And they cost about $150-$160. I paid a little bit more and got high rise, which is a nice thing. You being tall, you will like it as well. The standard toilet's 15 inches, and I got two in one of my house that were 18.5 inches, and they're very nice, and oblong as well.
Oblong or elongated, I think, is the technical term, now that I've done my research. All right, Tom, toilet in a box. It sounds, it sounds icky, but thank you. I appreciate your call. Have a great day in Alabama.
You too.
Alan is listening in Tennessee. What do you think, bling or bust?
I went with bling, but it's not really about the ring or the bust to me. Life is made up of moments to take your breath away, for a chance to celebrate with your teammates.
Yes.
After winning a Super Bowl.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you look at Michael Jordan's reactions whenever he won championships.
Yes.
I know the Hall of Fame, there's some emotion that goes in there, but not that raw, just pure joy that goes with winning a championship.
Adrenaline, baby. You'll never have another adrenaline spike like that.
No, ma'am. And want to say how much I appreciate your show. I drive a truck overnight, and it's like having a coworker with me. I get
nice
to hear about your personal life, and don't be expecting any of my paycheck, but
no,
I appreciate what you do.
The problem is that I'm the coworker that never shuts up, right? I talk a lot, so sorry about that.
I really enjoy that. Believe it or not, I really enjoy that. It's an intelligent conversation, and I don't do a lot of talking myself, so it's really nice to have you along with me.
Well, then it's even more of an honor that you called, sir. Thank you so much. You be safe.
Yeah.
Alan listening in Tennessee, like a coworker that rides along with him and never shuts up. But it keeps him from having to talk. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. Let's throw in a couple more here from Facebook. Patrick says, who wouldn't love to be enshrined? A literal bust of your likeness, truly immortal. However, I love it when there's a but. However, nothing beats the feeling of accomplishing all your goals and doing so as a team. Super Bowl, no question. And that's how I feel. Yes, the career achievement of being selected as one of the best to ever play the game, as one of the best to ever do it, that's amazing. That recognition, especially when it comes from some of your peers, not always, but you are certainly held up among your peers and you're held up as a gold standard with the gold jacket. But to me, playing sports was always about the team. It was always about that feeling of working together. It was all, that was what gave me the thrill. It was always about the work that was done behind the scenes, the grinding, the blood, the sweat, the tears that was poured into achieving a goal together. And that is what gave me the thrill. That's why I love sports. That's the part I've never been able to replicate. And you hear that from so many athletes who retire. What they miss the most, they don't tell you. They miss being the best on the field. No, they tell you they miss the camaraderie with their brothers, their sisters. They miss that locker room. They miss going to war with people that are trying to accomplish the same goals that they are. They miss the process, the journey. And of course, they all tell you they're in it to win it too. So I hadn't heard that about Dan Marino. I appreciate that that perspective from our caller because I didn't know that. I was hesitant to answer the question, but I do believe there are plenty out there who would tell you that they would rather trade those individual accomplishments for a ring. I mean, think about Clayton Kershaw. He's won Cy Youngs. He's won an MVP, but now this incredible joy and this adulation and this feeling like his career is complete, even though he's still out there, but he's accomplished it all now that he's got the ring. And that was the one piece that was missing. There are a couple of funny posts on Facebook. Brian says, by the way, being inducted into the Hall of Fame is far from a bust. He clearly doesn't understand what we mean by the bust. And then I kid you not, there's another one on our Facebook page. I won't even identify the guy. And I quote, Super Bowl too easy. Just because Tom Brady makes it look easy does not mean it is. Duh. We'll talk to you tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.